Welcome to Not Quite Right. My name's Ed.
And I'm Amanda.
And we are at Words on the Waves, where we spoke with Mame Blue. We spoke with Mame about her work as a novelist, as well as her workshops on writing family drama and what compels people to want to write about family, as well as getting her tips about writing unlikable characters. So here is our discussion with Mame Blue. We're here at Words on the Waves with Mame Blue, and you're part of the Writing About Family session.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about that.
Yeah, so my latest novel, The Rest of You, is a multi-generational story. It's kind of set in present-day London, and then it also goes to the mid-1990s in Ghana.
Okay.
And it follows like one family and how one thing that happened in the mid-90s has an impact on the present-day character.
So is this fiction, non-fiction?
Very fiction.
Very fiction, okay.
Inspired by many family stories,
okay.
I would say. But yeah, definitely fiction.
Yeah, so your workshop is all about writing about family, right?
Yes.
So what were some of the, I guess, key takeaways that you wanted your attendees to
I wanted them to think about, rather than like the structure of a story, whatever story it is, really think about what happens when you're in a family,
mm-hmm.
and especially if you're writing family stories. And it's very common. I think Australia has a big interest in nonfiction, actually. You guys are like really up there with that. And I think people are really interested in true stories. So a lot of people are writing about real family stuff and their real families. And so I wanted them to think about, kind of drill down into what happens when you're in a family, what role do you play, how does that ripple effect happen and impact other things that happen in the family.
So starting with the family almost as the character or the, and working back out from there.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And because people are writing real stories, it can be like, I've got all this information, but actually I don't know how to make a story out of it.
Mm.
And so I kind of, the workshop is about helping you focus on, maybe it's one character, maybe it's contextualizing the history of the family, and or maybe it's just focusing on the conflict and building out from that.
Mm.
And do you have any references that you like to show? Like, which books do you think that that's been done well
in? Oh, yeah. Oh. It's like, who's your favourite child? let me think. Well, okay, so there's a book called Son of Sin by Omar Sacker, and I think he writes about like this big family relationship that's kind of chaotic and traumatic, but also very, there's like a growth and change. And I think that shows like multi-layers of a family. Mm. There's this other book called When We Were Birds by Ayanna Lloyd Banwo. And that is like, it's told from two different characters' perspectives. And they have two very different families, but they have two very big responsibilities in their families.
Mm.
And I just think that's another really good way of like looking at family.
Mm. I like this idea of starting with it. It's almost like the framework or the skeleton of the story is these family relationships.
Mm.
How do you find that that works then in tying it up into a satisfying story?
Well, that's a good question. I think you have to be clear on why you're writing the story in the first place, especially when it's about family. Like, inevitably, our own stuff is going to go into anything we're writing about is going to go into it, but especially when it's about family. So I think helping to focus the narrative is usually just about having an answer to that question. Why am I writing it? Why does it have to be me that's writing it? What am I trying to reveal in writing this story? Because if you don't really have those answers, then you're just recounting facts rather than, oh, actually, I want to reveal this thing and I want to tell this really interesting story.
And that can be the challenge probably in all sorts of types of nonfiction writing, but in memoir in particular, like trying to discern the story rather than just the interesting things that happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that I find easiest is to help with like a really structural framework of just what is your timeline that you're covering? Because you can't, we'd love you to go from zero to like, and then I was 75, but actually that's a lot of information versus actually, is it about this period during your teenage years or this period in the history of your family that's really, that you really want to focus on? Because I feel like that's where the most kind of meaty bits of the story come out when you're a bit more focused on the time.
But you're talking about yourself writing fiction about family. So how does that differ?
I don't know that they're that different.
Okay.
I think my story was impacted by obviously a very like personal experience with family, but also friends' experience with family. And also the focus of my novel is very much focused on children of immigrants.
Mm.
And so there's that whole, the migration part of the story is a big factor. So I think when I'm fictionalizing that, I'm more thinking, I'm focusing on themes rather than this family member, and I'm not trying to make a character based on someone I know. I'm actually just thinking about the contextual things that happened and how that influences what a character could become.
So looking at the themes that you have experienced or that your family has experienced and then creating new characters to express those themes without implicating anyone in your family.
Exactly.
I think maybe that's a challenge of writing family-based fiction is your family will get to read what you write as well.
Yes, that is a question I get every single time I run this workshop and it came up again this morning as well. You just have to really think about what's the most important part of this story. Is it that I write down every single detail about this person and, you know, their height and their face, you know, or do I need to go into the detail of just the emotions and the impact of some of the actions that they did? And can I build a character around that while still keeping the things that I think were most important about that person?
When you're running your workshops, what do you think motivates most people who, like, seek to write about family? Is it
the characters? I can guess.
You can guess. You have quite a rich family experience.
Trauma. I'm going to guess resentment.
Yeah. Working through issues.
Working through the shit.
Unanswered questions. Yeah. That's a big one. That was definitely my motivation for writing about family. It was kind of like the gaps that come with the migration stories and the things that, as I said, like, child of immigrants, there is an element of my elder's story that I am never going to know because I grew up in a different place with a different culture. And there's always going to be like a gap, but the gap is widened when it's not communicated or, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's usually unanswered questions and curiosity and wanting to often probably know yourself a bit better as well.
Yeah, true.
Is this a session that you've done elsewhere?
Yeah, I've done it a few times, a bunch of different places, UK, Australia. But I also run like workshops on, one of my favourite workshops that I run is like complex characters, which obviously is some crossover, just because I really like digging into how to write like an unlikable character and what that actually looks like when you write one that's really, even if you're actively rooting against them, that's a really good thing to kind of get to the depth of that.
To care.
Yeah. Even if you're like rooting for them to fail, that's great. I like characters like that.
Do you like to write unlikable characters as the main protagonist or as like side characters?
A bit of both, I would say. I like to think of Yellowface by R.F. Crank. A very wholly unlikable character, but you have such a depth of understanding of why she is the way she is that you still care about what happens to her. Even if you don't want her to succeed, you still care what's going to happen.
She feels like a real person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Those are my favourite types of like workshops.
I guess people can relate to unlikable characters because a lot of people recognise their own problematic traits.
Exactly.
So to see that reflected in fiction can be confronting, I guess.
I think a lot of people push back often on when characters are unlikable in books and even like TV shows and movies. Like they consider that a strike against the show, but they're really important to have. And I think what makes an unlikable character work, as you've said, is for them to be human and for the reader to understand that they're not just like a cardboard cutout for no reason. Like they have their own motives and their own reason for being how they are. And we can all relate to those kinds of causes, even if the effects are not the same for us.
Yes, 100%. And I think when I'm running those kinds of workshops, I always like to use scenarios where you've got one character playing off another character because that's often a really simple way to show the reader, like reveal some more things about this really unlikable character is how they interact with other people who are not unreasonable and how those two things like knock heads. Or like if I think about like TV, some of those like really successful series, this is a terrible example I'm going to give.
Go for it.
Okay. Grey's Anatomy. But bear with me. A lot of people do not like the main character, who is Meredith Grey, but she doesn't need to be likable. In fact, her unlikability is the point because everyone else around her gets to be then multidimensional and feed off of her weird, you know, whatever, her unlikable things that she does. It makes it interesting. You need that character that's going to bring conflict.
I
think that's quite a fun thing to do when you figure out how to do it.
Absolutely. And so are you working on your own writing now as well?
I am, yeah. I have another book hopefully coming out next year.
Okay, yeah.
I'm looking more in the speculative fiction.
Oh, okay.
Changing, so yeah.
Yeah.
I like to read around.
Yeah.
So I'm working on my next few things.
All right, so when we say speculative fiction, are we talking dystopia? Are we talking, I don't know.
We are talking dystopia.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You probably don't want to say too much.
Yeah. I know, I'm being coy, not on purpose. I'm just but yeah, it's dystopian and it's my first kind of world building. I'm much more, my two novels are very like character focused, character driven, and this is, but in a very different way. It's so much more about the world as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, interesting. Like, it's quite a leap. To me, it seems like a big leap, yeah.
Yeah.
Of focus and just approach to storytelling. Yeah. Do you apply any of that same logic of writing about family to the speculative fiction?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's a hard thing to do where I usually, like if I'm thinking of a story, the characters usually come first.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the first time where the world came first before the characters. And so what's, I guess, interesting for me is thinking in the same way that I think about the layers of family, which I think just sit in all kinds of stories, is also thinking about how then these characters interact with the world.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm really trying to make really fulsome characters, I think that's become a thing I'm learning to do that I feel has been quite interesting because it's bringing out much more about characters than I realised.
Mm.
I'm wondering as well, so in your workshops about family writing, have you ever been challenged or surprised by something that an attendee has put to paper that has either challenged you from like a writing perspective or just from a...
Oh, that's okay. I mean, that, across the board, all kinds of workshops, there's been a lot of like, what the hell moments. But, you know, that's not the family one. I would say the family one... There's been some like amazing like writing that has come out of the family one, I would say, when they just are thinking about it differently or they're writing into a different scenario and it kind of unlocks something for them. Those are like my favorites. I also teach I haven't taught it for a while, but a romance workshop because my first book has a lot of romantic relationships. And I did teach one, which is often the case. The majority of the attendees were women and then there was like one man.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually the ratio for writing, in my experience. The task was about writing a sex scene, which, you know, is tricky if you've never done it. Like, it takes practice and you figuring out what you're doing. And it was just a very detailed recounting, yes,
right,
from unfortunately the only male. in the and I give it to him. He was really trying. I don't think he wasn't trying to be salacious. It was just
he was embracing the challenge.
He was embracing the challenge. But this is what, you know, that's where he was at with it. And it was just kind of a, you know, when you're the facilitator, you kind of have to be like, and how do I now manage how everyone else gets to react to this really detailed...
Why am I picturing that scene from My Girl where she goes to the writing workshop and there's that couple that are reading the really sexual story anyway? That's what I'm picturing.
Yeah. But that, you know, but nothing so, so crazy. But that's kind of what comes to mind.
Oh, good fun.
All right, well, thanks for having a chat with us, Mama.
Thanks for having
me. Thank you.
This has been a special presentation of the Not Quite Right podcast in collaboration with Words on the Waves Writers Festival. Check the show notes for more information about Words on the Waves and the books mentioned in this episode. If you're new to the podcast, please join us again for our regular episodes where we talk about media, culture, and the art of writing.
Something doesn't seem quite right.